It's really amazing what we are seeing today, Isaiah already saw 2,700 years ago. And even Peter has a quote, Isaiah. It's the most quoted book in the New Testament. Right, quoted in the New Testament. Actually, it's not the Old Testament. I've been saying that for years. It's the Holy Scriptures. The Lord never called it the Old Testament. Amen. Where are we? Where were we? We are in a new heaven and new earth. Amen. Chapter 65. Let's go to chapter 65. Oh Lord, open a word to us. Amen. We do pray that you will give us more light, more revelation, and open our understanding. We do want to humble ourselves before you. And we pray that you will show us your way. Amen. And that we will know how to cooperate with you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord answered in a very amazing way to the intercession of Isaiah. And today the Lord needs a lot of people who can intercede for God's people.
Amen.
Right. And as we heard this morning, Isaiah knew what is in God's heart. Because you cannot intercede without knowing what God wants. But you also cannot intercede if you do not know the terrible, poor condition of God's people. And to have a compassionate heart. Right. To be an intercessor is not that simple. To be a mediator is not that simple. You have to know both parties. If you don't, it's not possible to intercede. And here we can see that Isaiah, on one hand, he fully realized what God wanted. And on the other hand, he also fully knew the sin of God's people. Rebellious, worshiping idols, lying, offending God. Right? So many things, terrible. Right? And so God answered him in chapter 65. You have to know and see that all these chapters in Isaiah are correlated. Right? And God's answer is, okay, I will not destroy everything. I will keep a remnant for myself. But then on the other hand, he said, but you, those who forsake me, forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, and who prepared a table for Gad and for Minai, these are two deity, the pagan deity, I will number you for the sword. There is judgment. Don't think there is no judgment. Isaiah talked much about judgment. Yep, and you all shall bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. That's in verse 12. When I spoke, you did not hear, but did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I do not delight. Therefore, says the Lord God in verse 13, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. My servant shall drink, you shall be thirsty. My servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. My servant shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and wail for grief of spirit. You shall leave your name as a curse to my chosen, for the Lord God will slay you and call his servants by another name. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is what the Lord said. And then he promised in verse 17, behold, I will create a new heaven and new earth. Amen. Isaiah talked about new heavens and new earth. How about that? Don't say that's of the Old Testament. No, that's not only not of the Old Testament. It is even in the eternal future. How wonderful. And the former thing shall not be remembered or come to mind. Unfortunately, we always like to remember former things. There's a song I love to tell, the old, old story. Goodness. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. And of course, we know in the book of Revelation, it's referring to the new Jerusalem. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and a voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor a voice of crying. Today there is weeping, there is mourning, there is crying. There's so much trouble today, both in the world and also among God's people today. Yeah. Then Isaiah described a little bit, of course, concerning the new heaven and new earth. Isaiah did not yet see the millennial kingdom because it belongs to the age of the new covenant. And he shared a little bit concerning what's going to happen, especially concerning the earthly people, the Jews. Because you have to realize the Jews only turn to the Lord when he comes back. This is what Zechariah says. They will see the Lord coming, whom they pierced. Even Zechariah talked about the future, not just about the past. And they will mourn and weep and repent. Right. And although Zechariah says, then God will pour out the spirit of grace and supplication to them, they are not going to be transformed like we are and having a new spiritual glorious body that will never die, right? Like what Philippians says. And because they didn't have that qualification yet. But they will be priests on earth, and they will be living on this earth, and the nations will hold on to them and says, bring us to Jerusalem. We want to learn the ways of the Lord. They will learn, right? So here it says, no more at that time in verse 20. And this refers mainly to the earthly people, right? No more shall an infant from there live but a few days. Today, there are quite a few infants after they were born, just died, passed away. Right? So much trouble. nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. Today, what God said in Psalm 90 through Moses, that we'll live if we're healthy 70 years, and if you are a little bit more healthy, 80 years. But nowadays, with modern medication, 90, 100, right? For a child shall die 100 years old. Of course, he's saying this, referring that, hey, the blessings of longevity is there in the new heaven and new earth, but he did not yet realize this period. Although he was talking about this period, actually, but he didn't realize that there is firstly a millennial kingdom, and then there will be transported to new heaven and new earth, right? Yeah, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be cursed. Right? So here you can really see that in this time, among God's people, there will be the longevity. They shall build houses and inhabit them. Of course, we don't need to build houses. In the millennial kingdom, you don't need to build houses. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. It's talking about his people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain. And today they have a lot of trouble, right? Nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. If you read Ezekiel, for example, right? Ezekiel tells us when the Lord comes back, he's going to build the temple that is in Ezekiel. And the Jews will be serving there as priests and Levites. They will be doing some practical jobs, watching the gate and preparing all kinds of services for the people who comes. And of course, Zadok and the descendants of Zadok, right? The descendants of Zadok will be serving the Lord on the altar, because they have special privileges. But this is concerning the people in the old covenant before. And they will still be offering sacrifices. Amazing. And they will inherit the land. And this land there, according to Ezekiel, is divided accordingly. It's really amazing. But they still have the earthly inheritance. But for us, no more. We don't need that. Right. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. Praise the Lord. And verse 25 again, we have seen that before, right? In chapter 11. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Not today. The wolf will devour the lamb. They won't be feeding together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. We have talked about that. The dust shall be the serpent's food. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, says the Lord. So you can see Isaiah described in a few words what he saw in that time. Of course, he cannot see everything, right? Praise the Lord for such a vision of the new heaven and new earth. And remember, we read Peter. Let's go back to 2 Peter just to repeat a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 3 at the very end. Peter says, when the Lord comes back, heavens will pass away with a great noise, the old one. And the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth, the habitable part of the earth, and the works that are in it, verse 10, will be burned up. So it is not wise to invest today in anything that's going to be burned up. Right? Just have enough to live a comfortable life. That's good enough. Too comfortable is not too good. You're going to be spoiled and you'll forget the Lord. Yeah. And therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, it's going to be dissolved. What manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved? It doesn't mean that there's not going to be heaven anymore, but there's so many pollution up there. You know how many satellites are up there? It's a lot of pollution. People not only pollute this earth, they'll also pollute heaven. Will be dissolved, being on fire, and elements will melt with fervent heat. So whatever you possess will be gone. Nevertheless, according to his promise in Isaiah, according to his promise in Isaiah 65, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. What do you expect in new heaven and new earth? Something miraculous? You expect righteousness. That means everything will be according to God's ways and God's righteousness. So today in Zion, we have to be righteous, to live in a righteous way. Amen. I'm glad. Look at, what would you do if you find that out? Okay, just put it in lost and found. But you know, if you put it in lost and found, that person who is there in lost and found may not be righteous. He may put that thing in his pocket. For you, it's convenient. You put it there. But it may not be the righteous thing to do. But because Christ is in us, we do things according to the righteousness of God, not according to your convenience. Today, in our own righteousness, we do a lot of things that are, which we think is righteous, but not righteous. Like Isaiah said, what our righteousness is as filthy rags. Nevertheless, according to his promise in Isaiah 65, we look for a new heavens. We look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Of course, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 21 and 22, the new heaven and new earth is more than just righteousness. It's much more wonderful. And Jerusalem is a heavenly, wonderful Jerusalem described there in chapter 22. And there is no more temple there because God himself is the temple. Right? So in a sense, what Isaiah chapter 66 says, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made. And all those things exist, says the Lord. Well, but not during the millennial kingdom. God will still have to build that temple in Jerusalem where his throne will be. The throne of Christ will be there because he will rule over all the nations here on this earth. And all the nations will have to go to Jerusalem to worship him. So here we can really see the new heavens and the new earth is a little bit limited in what Isaiah has seen. But in the book of Revelation, the new heaven and new earth is really wonderful, and there is no more death, for example. No more death. But here, you can still see death, because death and Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. But from what Isaiah has written, this is why we wrote here in this outline. The new heaven and new earth actually commence or begins already in the millennial kingdom. Our concept is it's going to happen all of a sudden. No. But the Lord's creation of new heaven and new earth needs a process there, just like you. We have just read this morning, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Right? That's what is written, right? So are you new? You are new immediately after you're a Christian? I've been a Christian for so many years, I still need renewing. Believe me. Do you? Yeah. But it says you're a new creation. You see, day by day, we still need the renewing. Of course, our spirit, it starts there. The new creation started in our spirit. But it's only there. It needs to expand. There's still so many things in me that needs to be taken out, to be removed. Be burned away, to be purged away. That's why we're keeping a feast of the unleavened bread. Week after week, not only week after week, it's day after day, we are purging out. We are still learning, right? Praise the Lord. I appreciate that. I had a portion of it. We all had a portion of that offering because God will give us a portion. And that will remind me also, yeah, I better also learn. Right? So, the renewing, or to make everything new, is not in a moment. The creation, yes, in the 7 days. God says, let there be light. There's light. Right? That's very fast. It's very quick. God says, oh, let the earth bring forth all kinds of plants. Wow, it looks like Disneyland. Because all of a sudden everything just comes up. Because it's created out of nothing. Now that everything is there, but fallen, for God to renew it, it is not that easy. Because otherwise he's going to burn you all away. Or he might as well bury you and create a new Sam Huang. It's not going to happen like that. I explain it this way to help all of us to understand, because at the very end, the Lord says in chapter 21, right? Behold, I make all things new. Is it just in the twinkling of an eye? How did he make all things new? Are you all new? But you're in the process of being renewed. That's why we still have so much trouble. Right? That's why we still have to learn. So the Lord, in order to renew this creation, it doesn't mean that he's going to throw away the planet Earth and then put another planet. Right? I heard some time ago, and that really bothered me. Oh, that New Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven, out of God from heaven to another planet. You have to move to another planet. How are you going to, what is going to be moved to Mars? Which other planet is it going to be? But it's written, I'm going to inherit the earth. But if the earth is going to burn away, it's going to disappear. Then the Lord says, I changed my mind. You're going to inherit Mars. No, there's no other more beautiful planet than this earth, except unfortunately it is full of junk and pollution. San Francisco used to be a beautiful city, and now it's a universal toilet. That's what I read. Right. So what are you going to do? Cut San Francisco out of the planet Earth. Right away. Dump it into the Pacific Ocean. It's quite close to the ocean there. But then you're going to pollute the ocean. Send it to Mars. That's why there is judgment. There is judgment. And that judgment begins even before the millennial kingdom. This is the last 3.5 years, the great day of God's wrath. My goodness. You know, you have to see the vision. I cannot explain it to you. So, the process of renewing begins in Judgment Day, the great day of God's wrath. And in this 3.5 years, a lot of things will already be burned away. But it takes 3.5 years. Can you imagine that? Not 3 seconds. This is 3 seconds. 3.5 years. And it's trumpet after trumpet after trumpet after trumpet, and bowl after bowl after bowl after bowl. And then at the end, there is also judgment and separation and thrown into the lake of fire. And then his rule begins for 1,000 years kingdom, right? And you have to rule with what? A golden scepter? With what? What do you need an iron rod for? Just use a bamboo stick? Why you need an iron rod? Because the nations during the millennial kingdom still needs. And today, you and I, we don't need the Father's chastisement. It's a good thing he doesn't use an iron rod. If the Father, you know, at home, what do you use? Kochlöffel. If you use an iron to chasten your son, he won't be sitting here. But in the millennial kingdom, it's going to be an iron guitar and smash the nations like a potter, like a vessel. That means, hey, the process took 1,000 years. Not that simple, not that easy. Not that easy. And before the final appearing of the new heaven and new earth, as such, the Lord has to prepare the nations to be in that part, right? Otherwise, there's still going to be a lot of terrible things. So at the end of the millennial kingdom, that's why the Lord left that dragon, that terrible Satan, still chained, to let him come out to gather the rest of those that cannot be healed. You remember Ezekiel said, the water, the living water, will come out from the temple, from the Holy of Holies, and then flow through the altar, and then flowing out to heal the nations, right? But there is a part that cannot be healed. It's called the swamp. Yeah, it says the swamp. And now somebody's draining the swamp. And you have to realize the swamp, according to Ezekiel, cannot be healed. No, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. So, during this millennial kingdom at the very end, that part that cannot be healed or renewed or even be healed, that's why the Lord kept Satan there in the abyss for 1,000 years and let him come out and swallow up the whole swamp with him and throw it into the lake of fire. All the garbage. The garbage collector. You know, a garbage collector. It's necessary. And he's the universal garbage collector, because all the garbage came from him. So God is going to return all the garbage to him. Then the new heaven and new earth. And then all the remaining nations will go in to the new heavens and the new earth, and the leaf of the tree of life will be for the healing of the nations. That is why we wrote here, commencing at the return of the Messiah and throughout the millennial kingdom. And that age, Acts tells us, it is called the time of restoration. Right? So, I will still recognize you. You will still recognize me when we are fully transformed. Don't think, God, I won't recognize you anymore. Right. But, praise the Lord, fully renewed. That is when the new creation is finished. It's consummated. It's a wonderful way. This is God's way. Right. So in chapter 65, concerning the new heaven and the new earth, commencing at the return of the Messiah, and then throughout the millennial kingdom, consummating in the new heaven and the new earth after the millennial kingdom. Praise the Lord. I think it's better we stop here. But the new heaven and new earth. Instead of going on to chapter 66. Yeah, and in chapter 66, just the last verse, I just want to give you just one verse, which is very strange and amazing. I never thought that God would do that. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. For the worm shall not die, and the fire is not quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. That means in eternity you will be reminded. You'll be reminded. There will be a museum. You know a museum? You know what a museum is, huh? A display of the old things. Hopefully that we will not repeat history, right? It's really, really amazing. Right? It says here, and it shall come to pass, verse, of course, it's new heaven and new earth, right? It's mentioned again. For as the new heavens and the new earth, in verse 22, which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name will remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me. And they also shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. I called it a museum. I know it's not a good word, but I don't know how to describe it. It's just like if you want to know history, what happened during the Second World War, there's a museum. You can go and look. Then you can know and remember what happened. And hopefully today we'll learn from it, not to repeat it. But people, fallen people never learn. They never learn. Oh, Lord Jesus, and that is how Isaiah ended. At least for us today, let us learn from history. For the last 50, 60 years of my life, I've seen so much trouble. Since I was 17 years of age until today, I've seen so much trouble. And looking back, it's just like visiting the museum. And it reminded me what not to do and what not to be and what will happen if we don't behave ourselves, if we don't go on with the Lord, if we get stuck in ourselves. Right. So, verse 24 is not a very nice verse. But it's to remind us. Praise the Lord. But new heaven and new earth is wonderful. But as we today, we haven't arrived yet. We are looking forward to that. Meanwhile, do not think that we don't need the warning. We need the warning. Right. And the nations need the warning. All the nations in the millennial kingdom, they will need the warning. And perhaps when the new heaven and new earth comes, I don't know if they need a warning or not, but during the millennial kingdom, they definitely need a warning. But a part of the people did not take heed to the warning, so at the end, they will end up there in the lake of fire. Right. Perhaps in the new heaven and new earth there is no more such museum, right? Because all the things will pass away and shall be remembered no more. But during the millennial kingdom there is a museum. There is a need of that museum to remind the nations, hey, just don't forget what happened to those people in the past. But some did not take heed. So today, since we haven't arrived yet, you need to look at history a little bit. Otherwise, you forget. Just 20-some years ago, we experienced being kicked out, right? Yes. 20-some years later, again we experience being kicked out. Same history. So, visit the museum once in a while. Okay? Visit the museum so that you will not forget. Don't think that verse is not important. It's written there for a reason. So every time I thought back, wow, 60 years ago, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, oh my goodness, 30 years ago, and now, the most recent years. I have the whole museum in front of me. I visit it once in a while to remind me. Otherwise, you don't learn, you repeat history. I don't like to say what somebody said concerning what we learned from history. He says, what we learned from history is that we keep on repeating it. That is not the way why we need to learn history. We need to learn history so that we don't repeat it. But unfortunately, that is not the case with many people. Well, praise the Lord. May the Lord help all of us and help us to make it. Amen. Thank you, brother.